Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter, where Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." In the first portion of his explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed concerning faith in Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit, and sanctification, Martin Luther takes a complex theological topic, a theological mystery, and explains it in simple words that even a child can understand. He writes, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." This is what we call the doctrine of justification, how a person becomes righteous and holy before a holy God. You are justified, that is, declared not guilty of your sin, by grace alone, through faith alone, for the sake of Jesus Christ alone. It is not a man-made doctrine. Luther didn't write it. Holy Scripture teaches it. Now, in our gospel text this morning, we see exactly what we can accomplish with our own reason and strength, our own free will. Jesus teaches that even at its very best, human nature, reason, and free will always fail. And that's not even speaking of our human nature's rebellion against spiritual things. Jesus illustrates that human reason is completely blind and dead before God. Therefore, it cannot even attempt to love God, or even know God's love, or even desire God. Nicodemus is a prominent religious man, and he has an impeccable resume. He is a Pharisee. He is a teacher of the Jews, a teacher of Israel, ruler of the Jews. Ruler of Jews means he is a member of the Sanhedrin. And if anyone knows the scriptures well, surely it is Nicodemus. He certainly knows of God's covenantal promise made to Abram, the one whom God would later name Abraham, and God's promise that he would make Abraham great. The covenant was that Abram would leave his homeland, leave everything he knows, and by faith go to a land where he knows no one, owns nothing there. But in this foreign land, God says that he will make him a great nation. And through his offspring, specifically the one who was promised to come, in that offspring, all peoples on the earth would be blessed. God told Abraham these things, and what did he do? Abraham went, as the Lord told him. Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness. And this is what we call grace. Abraham believed God's promise, and God graciously counted it as righteousness, granting him undeserved kindness and favor. Abraham didn't earn God's favor with his works. No, as we heard in our second reading, that would have been considered merely payment for those works. Abram simply trusted. He trusted in the God who justifies the ungodly, and God counted his faith as righteousness. As God always does, he does all the work, and mankind merely receives. But these things written in the scriptures, Nicodemus should know what they mean. However, he was spiritually blind and dead before God. But he had questions, so he goes seeking out Jesus under the cover of darkness. No doubt he had heard about John the Baptist's new sort of preaching and baptism, proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. After all, as a member of the Sanhedrin, he is in regular contact with those very Pharisees and Sadducees that John the Baptist had rebuked at the River Jordan. Certainly, he has heard of Jesus' miracles. And being a wise man, he knows that Jesus just isn't your ordinary man. He has signs. He does miracles. But he doesn't recognize Jesus as God in flesh, but merely someone sent from God, maybe a great teacher and prophet performing signs. Jesus is omniscient. He knows why John is coming. He knows why Nicodemus is coming. He knows his thoughts, and he doesn't give him a chance to pose his question. Jesus cuts to the heart of the matter, telling him exactly what he needs to know for salvation. Jesus begins by saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you," this "truly, truly" that Jesus speaks so often is literally "amen, amen." The word that comes from the Hebrew word for faith and faithfulness. With divine authority, Jesus speaks these words to emphasize that what is being said is a solemn declaration of what is true, truly. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You can imagine to Nicodemus' ears, it sounds like Jesus is talking gibberish. How can one enter into the womb and be born physically a second time? Nicodemus is thinking of earthly things, fleshly things. The expression "born again" can also mean born from above. Nicodemus is thinking of the former. Jesus is speaking of the latter. Jesus again emphasizes the solemn truth of his words. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus is clear. New birth comes from water and Spirit working together. Nicodemus came with John's baptism on his mind, and Jesus teaches him the necessity of baptism. Baptism is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus' words to Nicodemus echo John the Baptist's words as he preached, "Repent, be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." All mankind, you and me and all human flesh, is born poisoned with sin and a fallen human nature. To be sure, human reason and free will are able to live a fairly decent life, at least in appearance, to a certain extent. Yet at its very best, the physical birth of the flesh is only going to beget flesh. The flesh of a fallen nature, devoid of any ability to do any good or anything righteous. So at the very best, flesh gives birth to death. Likewise, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Baptism is not man's work. It's God, the Holy Spirit's work, working through means of water and God's word to regenerate the sinful man into a spiritual being with a new heart, forgiven, reconciled to God, and a member of the one Christian church. How can this be? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't stand to reason. Well, even at its best, human reason and free will always fail. You see, apart from the Holy Spirit, you and I cannot even begin to understand the truths revealed in God's Word. Jesus gives Nicodemus an analogy, and it's true for us as well. Even the most educated meteorologist cannot tell you precisely where the air molecules that are underneath your nose at this very moment, can't tell you where they were 10, 15 minutes ago, and they can't tell you where those molecules will be located in the next 15 minutes. Outside, you can hear the wind coming and you hear it going, but you cannot be certain at what speed, what direction, what angle that wind is going to come from. Sure, you can watch the clouds and look at the weather vane, but you never know precisely where that next gust will come from. So what do? You have faith that it's going to come. You believe. Brothers and sisters in Christ, so too it is with the Holy Spirit. In God's wisdom, the very one who spoke creation into existence out of nothing mysteriously sends his Holy Spirit whenever and wherever he wills. He also sends it exactly where he promises to send it, specifically in holy baptism and in the preaching of his word. How does he send it in baptism? How does he send it in the preaching of the word? Don't attempt to reason. Just know that it does. That's what God's word teaches us. Like Abraham, know that God does all the work and believe. You have Jesus' promise. Again, Jesus appeals to the solemn truth, saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen." Jesus has told Nicodemus earthly things, how birth happens and how rebirth happens in baptism and creates faith. Now notice here, regeneration indeed is a spiritual thing. It is a thing of the Spirit. However, the fruits of faith are visible. Fruits of faith are evidence of conversion of the Christian. If Nicodemus cannot believe in what is seen, the fruits of faith, how can he ever believe in what is unseen, the spiritual things, the things of God in heaven, his holy will? But Jesus goes on to preach to Nicodemus heavenly things anyway, saying, "No ordinary man can bear witness to the things in heaven unless he had first been in heaven himself." Jesus is the one. He is the Son of Man. And he directs our Bible scholar to an Old Testament type and shadow of the greatest mystery of all that would come yet in the future, explaining that just as sure as all those snake-bit Hebrews out in the wilderness would look upon Moses' life-saving bronze serpent hanging on a staff, in the same way, all those who looked upon Jesus' lifeless body held high on the pole of the cross would be healed from the poison of sin, the poison of eternal death and damnation. How can it be? How can it be that having faith in someone who died on the cross, how can that save you of your sins? It doesn't make sense. But for you, my friends, like Abraham, you believe in the promise of God's word. You walk by faith, not by sight. You trust the one who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. You're a baptized believer in Christ Jesus, who was lifted high on the pole of the cross in your stead. And at the font, the Holy Spirit worked in you, working through water and Spirit, God's holy word, regenerating you into a new creation, giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit. and now being washed in baptism, possessed in the Holy Spirit, you look at God's word with spiritual eyes, looking through the lens of the cross. You know that you are healed from the poison of death because of Jesus' death on the cross. One thing I haven't touched on this morning is the fact that Nicodemus came to Jesus under the cover of darkness. He came at night so others wouldn't see him, question Jesus. The Pharisees notably despised Jesus, yet Nicodemus had questions, and he didn't want to compromise his position as a Pharisee, and he took the risk, showing that he seriously wanted answers to his questions, showing how deeply Jesus had gripped his heart. For you, fellow believer, Jesus has not left you out in the dark. While he may have ascended back into heaven, he always comes to you right where he promises to be in word and sacrament. He comes to you to strengthen you and sustain you to carry your cross, living as salt and light in a darkened and unsavory world. As we discussed earlier downstairs in Bible study, our country continues to grow more hostile toward Christianity. Public conversations of faith are becoming even more and more difficult, even amongst other fellow Lutherans of other denominations. There is much division, and the sad truth is, outside in this world are a lot of people in darkness like Nicodemus, who don't quite understand who Jesus is and why they should even care. They have questions and don't know where to get their answers. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you interact with these people every day in your various vocations. And they see you and watch how you act, noticing how you live a different life from the world. Jesus tells us that each tree is known by its fruit. Dear baptized believer in Christ Jesus, while regeneration is indeed a mystery, it yields observable evidence. Fruits of faith are evidence of your conversion. What would John the Baptist say? Well, he would say, repent, believe in the gospel, flee from your life of sin, live a life becoming of the name Christian. Shine your light of faith into the darkness and open the door for all those Nicodemuses out there so that they can see Jesus. You see, Jesus died for them just as much as he died for you. Jesus has not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And he has sent his Holy Spirit to call folks to faith by the words of the gospel. And at most times, the gospel is heard in private, one-on-one conversations, just like Jesus and Nicodemus in the dark of the night. Most times, the gospel is heard in your conversations, daily and nightly conversations. And no, it is not always easy to do. But dear Christian, you are called to bear fruits of faith. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is within you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. You see, it's not your responsibility to convert anyone. It's not your job to change how they live their lives. You don't have to worry about that. Let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting. All you need do is sow the seed and let God give the growth. The Holy Spirit is going to move wherever and whenever he wills. But unfortunately, the Holy Spirit cannot move wherever the gospel is not proclaimed. If you cannot give answers or are afraid to give answers, point them to your pastor. I would love to meet with them anywhere, anytime, and answer their questions, and share the redeeming love of Jesus with them, the power of faith in the one who bled and died, shedding his blood to save all mankind, not condemning the world, but that the world might be saved. You see, without Jesus, there is no hope. But with Jesus, there is eternal life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.